We're continuing with the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, the laws of meat and milk, and we're up to the first chapter, the fifth halacha. Umimash katvat Torah, gediv bachlev imo, being that the Torah expressed the prohibition of meat and milk as don't cook a goat in his mother's milk, so from there, lamedu chazal, our sages derived, midoraita nisur basar bechalav, that biblically, the prohibition of meat and milk is only bebasar beimat Torah, bechalav beimat Torah. Only the meat of a kosher animal with the milk of a kosher animal. Aval basar of Torah v'chayat Torah bechalav mutar levashlam kachat leochlam v'kal v'chomer le'notnim. The Torah prohibited domesticated animals with milk. But what would happen biblically if you were to cook chicken with milk? The Torah didn't prohibit that. That's a rabbinic prohibition. What would happen if you were to take deer's meat? You took a wild animal that's kosher and you cooked it with milk. The Torah did not prohibit that. The Torah prohibited domesticated animals with milk. And certainly, the Torah didn't prohibit deriving any benefit from it. The prohibition of cooking and eating is rabbinic. The Torah's prohibition was a domesticated animal and a kosher animal's milk. Okay, that's the Torah prohibition. Now, it's prohibited to cook, to eat chicken with milk. We know that. We're going to understand why in a minute. Hinei bebasar v'chalav, when we speak about meat and milk, yesh chashash gadol lemichshol. There's greater concern that people will err. Yoter masher b'shar isurim. It's a bigger problem than other prohibitions. Sharei basar levado mutar v'chalav levado mutar. Meat and milk are kosher items. You have meat in your fridge, you have milk in your fridge. And we're not worried that you're going to eat pork. You're not supposed to have that in your fridge. I mean, so we don't have to make extra prohibitions about not eating ham. But kosher meat with kosher milk are two items that you have at home. V'shneim nimtzim b'chol mitbach, and the average kitchen has them. V'kal mod likashel v'hem, so it's very easy to make mistakes with this. And that's why our sages made a blanket prohibition. Any mixture of meat and milk, even if it wasn't cooked together, for example, if you had cold milk mixed with cold meat, so then we don't eat that meat, we don't eat that, drink that milk, we prohibit all of it. But wait a second, the Torah's prohibition was cooking them together and eating that which was cooked together. That's true. The rabbis prohibited any mixture of meat and milk. And our sages extended it further. Being that we call all meat, we just call it meat. You don't pay attention if what you're eating is necessarily chicken or, you know, you buy ground meat. Do you know if it's ground chicken or ground meat? Very often you don't know. People just buy ground meat and they make whatever, even hamburgers people sometimes make from ground chicken. So we call it all meat. So our sages said if people don't discern between their lamb chops and their venison, people, those should be our problems, right? People don't pay attention if what they're eating is meat from a domesticated animal or a wild animal. We call it all meat. So people don't pay attention that chicken or wild meat is different than the domesticated meat. If the rabbis would leave it as it's permissible to eat wild meat with milk, or it's permissible to eat chicken with milk, fowl with milk, people would easily err and eat the prohibited meat, which is our standard meat, which is animal meat with milk. That's why our sages extended the prohibition. Our sages said all meat is prohibited with milk, to the point where the average person doesn't know what's biblical and what's rabbinic. We just know we don't eat meat and milk, and that's true. We treat them all the same in the sense that if you had a mixture of meat and milk, we don't start asking, was it chicken meat? Was it cow's meat? We say, you don't eat the mixture, you cannot eat that mixture. But the rabbis made this distinction, that the rabbinic prohibition of eating chicken with milk or wild meat with milk is only prohibited to eat. But the rabbis did not forbid us to cook them together or derive benefit from them. You have to remember that if it's going to look foul, then you can't do it. If you're going to cook wild meat with milk, and the onlooker thinks you're cooking regular meat with milk, so he thinks you're doing a biblical prohibition, we have a prohibition of marit ayin. I'm not allowed to do something that appears to be prohibited. So it's only permissible to cook them under two, you have to fulfill two conditions. One, shenikala kol shabasar ubasar chaya ve'of ve'lo basar be'ema. Anyone who looks can recognize this is wild animal meat, or can recognize this is chicken that's cooking with the milk. You're not going to eat it, but maybe you're preparing it for your household help. Maybe you're preparing it for your non-Jewish workers. So if people can recognize that it's chicken with milk, so then they know you're not doing a biblical prohibition. Number two, shenikar shenom vashlam kedei lochlam ela tzorach acher. Anyone who sees it recognizes you're not doing it for yourself. They're doing it for someone else. Your neighbor shouldn't walk into your house and see on your stovetop milk that's bubbling with chicken floating in it, and he's going to think, oh my gosh, this is what he's eating for supper. I'm not sending my kids there anymore. Right? That's marit ayin. It has to be discernible that it's chicken. It's not regular meat. It has to be discernible that you do not intend to eat that that chicken with that's cooking with the milk.
This also make your pot non-kosher.
Correct. For sure this would make your pot not kosher, right? Right. So if the pot had a big sign on it and it would say Abdallah on it, you know, Abdallah's pot, or Ahmed's pot, so...
That's a good sign.
Saying, then your neighbor knows. It's cooking for someone else, right?
And the meat and milk, even if the animal is being shechted, or it doesn't have to be shechted for it to
right.
Be
doraita. Right. Correct. Yes?
We have to those, the rabbi and the law, where you need to... Can have milk with chicken.
I don't know.
Is it Sanhedrin in a sense? Or like, is that ancient?
I think so.
Is it as ancient as them, or is it more, do we know what?
No. It's that ancient.
Okay.
Yeah.
How come nowadays we don't like try to make sure not to have soy ice cream with meat?
We'll get there. You're right. So the halacha says, the halacha doesn't discuss soy, the halacha discusses almond milk. The halacha says, if you're going to drink almond milk as you're eating cow's meat, so that's marit ayin. So it says you should have some almonds floating in your almond milk, or you should have almonds in front of it. People should recognize. So the same is true if you're going to have soy ice cream. People look at it, they think it's real ice cream. So you should have the can there that people could see. It's soy ice cream. Make sure to put the box on the table. You do have to pay attention. Twice I saw that there was a simchat, there was an event, and they brought cream to the coffee. So people were having coffee with cream as they were eating their meat. The only problem is the cream they brought by mistake was milchik. So at this event, they were serving meat and milk. And I saw twice that this happened, that people made, the second time it happened was a bar mitzvah, where initially the first course was milchik. The people didn't have catering, they brought their own food, so they hadn't figured right. And they had made the first course milchik, and then the rest of the meal was fleishik. You can't do that in a public setting. You know, in your house, you can eat milchik and then change the tablecloths and whatever. But if you're having an event, you're having a bar mitzvah with 150 guests, and you're forgetting some of the food on the tables, you can't serve meat and milk at the same event. Even though, technically, it was the first course, and they cleared off the plates, and everything was clean. You don't do that. I think Gilad was first, yeah.
What's up? What do you do in that event? If you find people making a mistake like that, do you get up and tell everyone, stop eating everything?
I think there are diplomatic ways to do it. I wasn't at the event. I got the shayla from the event. They called me from the event. I showed up. I said mazel tov, and then I came here to teach a class. I was en route to teach the class when I got a phone call, hey, you know what's going on at the event you were just at? So a good friend of the host called me, and we agreed that he would go and talk to the host. And the host right away cleared the stuff from the table.
So can you just clear it and, you know, that's it? Or do you have to, like, now get everybody clean up plates, you want to leave or whatever?
We'll see as we go along. We'll learn the laws. We'll see that as we proceed. As we proceed, we'll learn the laws. We'll see it. Yes?
If everyone is Jewish,
you don't have to say.
I didn't hear you.
How do they know?
No, why I ask it, I wasn't used to eat in restaurants. And I went with my whole annual company to, they brought me to a restaurant in Antwerp. And we have eaten, and then ice cream was served. And I saw the, came to everyone, and then it came to me. And I said, Slicha, is this milk? And the waiter was very, very, very angry. He said, sir, this is a kosher restaurant. How could you ask me something like that?
Okay.
So even if it's a kosher environment, you have to state explicitly this is soya.
They should. Saying that again. It happens to be, I went with the Rama. It's a discussion between the Rama and the Shulchan Aruch. I didn't go into the question whether it was chicken milk or cow's milk meat. Chicken meat or cow's meat. The details we'll learn when we get there. You guys are jumping ahead. but ideally, we clarify to people that this is parv. Yeah. You don't always know. They serve sorbet at the end of a meal. You can't always tell whether the sorbet is milchik or parv. Right. So, if you, the final halacha is if you take animal's meat with milk. So, if you would cook it, it would be prohibited biblically. You didn't cook it. They just sat together for a few minutes. So then, even if they sat together for a long time, it got pickled together, being that it wasn't cooked together, so you're allowed to derive benefit from it. You're allowed to sell it to a non-Jew. You're allowed to derive benefit from it because you did a biblical prohibition was not done with that meat and milk. And with this, we concluded our first chapter, our intro. What we learned is the Isur Doraita, the biblical prohibition of cooking them together, eating them after they were cooked together, deriving benefit from them after they were cooked together. We discussed the Isur Derabanan. The rabbis expanded it to all forms of meat, not only domesticated animals' meat with milk. Where the rabbis extended the prohibition to chicken and wild animals with milk, over there it's not prohibited to derive benefit or to cook it for someone else. We discussed the concept of maritain. I shouldn't do it in a way that it seems like I'm doing something prohibited or I intend to eat something prohibited. It has to be clear that what's cooking in the pot is chicken meat with milk and that I don't intend to eat it. It's for Ahmed or Abdallah or whatever. So those are the halachot in a nutshell that we covered today.